And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Athletic Baseball Show for Thursday, August 10th. This is On Deck. I'm Steven Nesbitt, and I'm joined by Levi Weaver, who just revealed pre-show he cuts his own hair. Levi, do you give yourself like different styles of cut, or do you ask yourself for different styles of cut and say, no, sorry, I can't do that one?
Yeah, no, I do give myself different styles of cuts, but I try to give the same one every time. So it's just like I'm not good at it. I'm just very well practiced, that's why probably why I'm wearing a hat today. Today on the show, we are going to talk about the J-Rod Show in Seattle. Is it too late for the Mariners to make one last stand? Is it? I don't know. We're going to talk about our top series for the weekend. We are going to make our arms race picks. Is it too late for Steven to make one last run at that race? And then also, Steven's going to tell us about his favorite ASMR. Back to you, Steven.
That's awful. That actually is great. I love it. That's fantastic. Thank you. Wow. I feel so much better about the Mariners' chances of making a stand than I do about myself in the arms race competition. But here we go. So this segment was launched by Julio Rodriguez on Tuesday night going 2-for-4, but also robbing Fernando Tatis Jr. with this sleight of hand fake out. Made a couple other great catches actually as well, because, you know, he's really good at defense. But if you haven't seen it, go look at it. He scales the center field wall. He catches the ball, but acts as if he didn't, walk back toward the infield. Fernando Tatis circles the bases almost all the way to third base. And then J-Rod reveals, look what I have in my glove.
This is not the first time I've seen this happen ever. Like, we've seen this in the minor
leagues. It's good. Guys should keep doing it.
It's great. I love it. But it's been a bad week for Fernando Tatis, like trying to feel respected by the rest of the league. First Joe Kelly, you know, throws inside a couple of times, calls him some names as he walks off after the strikeout. And now Julio Rodriguez, like, it's funny. Like, I don't know where the line is between disrespect. It's all funny. I don't care if it's disrespectful or not. It's funny. But it's one thing to like come back and take a couple of dejected steps and then hold it up, but to let him get almost all the way to third base, at that point, you're letting him make a fool of himself and then holding it up.
He milked that one. And I don't think he necessarily would have done it if it was in San Diego, but being in Seattle, it led to a standing ovation, and it was pretty funny. And J-Rod, like, he understands what he's doing. He's having a pretty good laugh at himself afterward. But yeah, so let's use this opportunity to talk a little bit about where the Mariners are at. They've won 6 games in a row as of time of recording here on Wednesday afternoon. 61-52. They're 11 games back in their division because it's a juggernaut of a division, and only 2 games back though in the wild card. They are 2 games back of the Toronto Blue Jays. We'll talk about a little bit more later in the show here. But if you look at Julio, the rookie of the year last year, his numbers across the board are a little bit down from his rookie year as far as the slash line: 259, 323, 434, still good numbers, but the 756 OPS is not what we were seeing a year ago. Has 18 homers, 27 steals, so you're looking at maybe 23 homers and close to 40 steals this year. I mean, that's an awesome season. This is what this guy is primed to put up over the course of his career. It's going to be a special one, but if you want to allow me to, you know, pick an arbitrary sample that proves a point and ignores a lot of other data. Last 16 games. Look at that. He's batting .343 with a 1.030 OPS, 5 homers, 11 extra base hits, 5 steals. So maybe things are getting right for Julio. He's a guy who I think is always going to have some strikeout and walk limitations. He's going to strike out a lot. He's not going to walk a whole lot. But everything else is pretty bonkers. He hammers the ball. His arm speed's crazy. On the base paths, of course, his speed pays off. He's got a huge arm. And he has, for the season, he has more outs above average than any other outfielder, 2 outs better than any other outfielder. Fernando Tatis Jr. is one of those guys, and Luis Robert Jr. is the other. And StatCast just rolled out a new, I guess, like a new leaderboard, fielding run value. And Julio leads everybody among infielders and outfielders in the range factor. So they haven't said his arm is necessarily like a plus-plus arm, but his range is, and that's what we're seeing. He's making catches in the gap, making catches in front of him. He's a guy who can play deep if he wants to and make those catches in front of him. He's a guy who can play kind of shallow and make those scaling the wall catches. So he's a pretty special talent. It's, I think, good to see him back looking like rookie year, Julio.
Yeah, so, all right, it's August 9th at time of recording, 10th at time of broadcast. We still have almost 2 months left in the season. Do the Mariners, you have to decide right now, do they make the playoffs? They're like the only real hot team in that wild card race, right? So,
yeah. What that question basically boils down to is, who do I like to make the playoffs if I can only pick one out of Toronto, Seattle, Yankees, Boston, Angels, I guess, are theoretically in the conversation. If I had to pick, I'd say no. I think they're hot right now. And I think they have a lot of good things going for them. Their rotation is good. They're near the top of the league in ERA. At one point, they were at the top of the league in ERA from that rotation. Third best in opponent batting average right now. They have a great rotation, and they're going to line up in this next series we'll mention in a moment against the Orioles. Big series there. Luis Castillo, George Kirby, Bryce Miller against Kyle Gibson, Kyle Bradish, and Grayson Rodriguez. Actually, really compelling matchups there. I really like the rookies going head-to-head in Game 3. But the bullpen's been really good as well for Seattle. Andrés Muñoz, Matt Brash, Justin Topa, Gabe Spier. They're doing this without Paul Sewald, who they just traded. So they aren't a team that necessarily went all out in trying to get to the playoffs this year. And they're making a run to put themselves in the conversation. They could do it, but I'm saying no, because that means I'd be saying no to Toronto. Probably just Toronto straight up.
It really is.
I think they finished
Toronto.
The first team out, if I had to bet. Where are you going?
I'm trying to decide. You know what? You said that they won't. I'll just take the opposite. But it's not just that I'm going to take the opposite because I'm being confrontational or an opposite-mist. If it were me alone, I would probably say I don't think so. They finish a game or two out. But if we were assigned these and like it's a betting pool and everybody gets handed a piece of paper and you know you put in your $10, here's the team that you got. Sorry if it's not one that you like. I'd feel pretty good about getting Seattle. I'd be okay with that. Did I hedge enough?
No, I understand where you stand. It's difficult because you look at the teams ahead of them, and it's like it is the other wildcard teams, Tampa, Houston, Toronto, they're 7 games behind Tampa. I don't really see that happening. Even with the Shane McClanahan injury, I don't see Tampa falling that hard. They went and got Aaron Civale, and for good reason. They understood they're going to have a good chance that they're going to have some additional injuries. But Houston, I don't see them falling. They just had a huge win Tuesday night, coming back against Felix Bautista in the 9th inning. A go-ahead grand slam by Kyle Tucker. Really incredible at-bat. If you have not seen that video, Orioles just can't, you know, do anything right in the last couple of days with the Kevin Brown fiasco and Camden Yards lease still not being signed. Anyway, that was a fun game. But do I see Houston falling off? No. Tampa falling off? No. So really the question is Toronto. And Toronto has not been great. We'll get to them in just a minute in the series preview. It's a lineup that is, I think, still a special lineup when you look 1 through 9. They have some incredible hitting talent. And when you have the rotation going like they have, they're 6 deep right now with Hyunjin Ryu back. So I don't want to spoil things. We'll get to them. But I just think Toronto's even better than what they've shown lately. They've been kind of treading water. And I think if I were to put them side by side with Toronto having a 2-game lead down the stretch, my betting thought would be going on the Blue Jays side.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Well, on that note, let's go ahead and get to our series of the week. You spoiled a little bit, but let's jump right into yours, which has the Toronto Blue Jays facing off against another one of those teams that looks, well, actually they have made it into a wild card spot, the Cubs. That didn't look like it was going to be a possibility 2 weeks ago, but here we are.
Yeah, this is a really interesting series, I think, in Toronto with the Cubs, who are, you know, it cooled off a tiny bit in the last couple of days, but 59-55, they've gotten over 500. They just stole the last playoff spot, the wild card spot from the Reds, and only team with a positive run differential in the NL Central, weird division. It's a team that did not do a lot at the deadline, but what they did do has worked out really well. Go and get Jamer Candelario. Last 2 weeks, I'm a big last 2 week guy. I don't know if you heard that. I've stolen that bit from you. Bellinger, Tauchman, Candelario, all over a 1.1 OPS and batting over 400. They're doing everything. And a couple other guys with, you know, 800 plus OPS, which is great. Yan Gomes, Ian Happ, Patrick Wisdom. And this is a team where the starting rotation isn't necessarily as deep as you would like it to be. Especially with Marcus Stroman on the injured list, but the bullpen lately has been great. Javier Assad, Julie Merriweather, Mark Leiter, Michael Fulmer, Jose Quias, all under two ERAs in the last couple of weeks. And on the other side of this one, Toronto is 64-51. Like I said, kind of treading water, seven games back of the lead, but two up on the Mariners for that last wild card spot. They just got beat up by a couple of Guardians rookies. If you've seen that series, they have a shot at Logan Allen in the finale. But lately, they've been driven by like the not Vladdy guys, and Bo Bichette, of course, being injured lately, but they've gotten great contributions from Brandon Belt, George Springer, Dalton Varsho. Like, you, it's a reminder, like, they have all these dudes. They just need to sort of wake up. Varsho, like I said, good numbers lately, but sort of where has he been? Alejandro Kirk is waking up a little bit. Still good things lately from Whit Merrifield. Davis Schneider has come out of nowhere. I do not expect that to happen, but they believe enough in him that they put him batting leadoff in like his fourth MLB game. The way this series stacks up, another really good one to watch. Jose Berríos against Justin Steele in game one. These guys are both Berríos 3.38 ERA, Steele 2.68. He could go for the NL ERA title this year. Chris Bassett against Drew Smyly in game two, and then Yusei Kikuchi against Jameson Taillon in game three. Kikuchi, since the All-Star break, 1.24 ERA in 29 innings, five starts. Taillon, you go back one start further, 2.17 ERA in 37 innings over six starts. The Cubs are coming on hot. They have, I mean, they straight up have a better lineup than the Brewers, so they could make this run all the way to the start. But if you're going like full team, the Cubs, I don't think, have the starting pitching right now to do it. However, if you get a healthy Stroman back, Justin Steele and Jameson Taillon, the way he's been lately, that can work. So it's a very winnable division, and certainly the wild card, as you see right now, is within reach.
On my end, I don't mean to just take the easy one here from the team that I live closest to, but the Rangers have an 8-game winning streak since the trade deadline. They have not lost. They swept the White Sox. They swept the Marlins. They're 2-0 versus the A's. Now that you've heard the opponents, maybe the 8-game winning streak isn't quite as impressive. The Marlins even have been fairly cold lately. They're not a bad team, but the White Sox and A's are. They are facing off against the San Francisco Giants. They swept the Arizona Diamondbacks, another team that was good that is now struggling. But then they were swept by Oakland in a 2-game series. They are currently, at time of recording, 1-1 against the flailing Angels. That will either be a 2-1 series win or a 1-2 series loss. By the time you hear this, these are two teams that have been doing fairly well since the deadline, both with, you know, obviously playoff hopes. The Rangers are leading the AL West by 3 games. The Giants currently are tied for the first wild card position with Philadelphia. They're up 3 on the Cubs. And again, all that is going to change slightly by the time you hear this. The Rangers, man, this winning streak has been so perplexing to me, because when you look at the guys who have been injured, obviously Jacob deGrom, we know about, he's been out for, you know, a while. He's having Tommy John surgery. He's not going to be back this year. Nate Eovaldi was their best pitcher. He has been out for a while, not planning on being back for the next couple of weeks. They lost a couple weeks from Corey Seager, who, by the way, is like maybe the best hitter on the planet this year when he's healthy. They have lost their all-star catcher, Jonah Heim, which, good news, he's supposed to be taking live pitching over the weekend in San Francisco. It looks like he will be back this year, but has had a wrist injury. He's been out. They had to go get Austin Hedges to be like that, to replace Heim's defensive wizardry. Hedges can't hit, but at least they've replaced, you know, some of the defense. And then the most recent one, Josh Young, fractured his thumb catching a 109-mile-an-hour line drive. My goodness, I'm glad he's not dead. And that's a lot of injuries for a team who just keeps plugging away and winning games. They've had a lot of contribution from, I think, one of the biggest keys. Actually, there are two keys that I look at. One is Mitch Garver looks like the Mitch Garver that won a Silver Slugger in, I think it was 2019. That has helped them replace Himes' offensive output. In fact, probably is hitting better than Heim over the last week or two. And the nice thing about Garver, obviously, is that if Heim comes back and if he can catch, then you slide Garver over to DH. Then you've got a whole lot of people to sort out in left field. Currently, none of their left field candidates are... Well, you know, I want to say they're not particularly hot. Robbie Grossman has been hitting the ball very well. He's got a 1036 OPS the last 2 weeks. He also fell down in the outfield and has made a couple of defensive plays that are perplexing. So some hit, some miss there. Seager, when he's been, they've been sort of limiting his playing time a little bit because he's still recovering from the thumb injury. But when he has played, he's had 27 plate appearances in the last 2 weeks, 1330 OPS. Marcus Semien, no limits there, 1089. Adolis Garcia, 1086. And the aforementioned Robbie Grossman, 1036. Mitch Garver's OPS the last 2 weeks, 997. That is a very hot lineup. The other thing that has been helpful for the Rangers for the first 2-3 months of the season, it was every time we talk about them, this is going great, that's going great, hey, everything's cool. Bullpen is still an absolute wreck. Not anymore. Josh Spores hasn't given up. So this is, again, the last 2 weeks. We got a combined 17 and two-thirds innings from scoreless innings, by the way. 17 and two-thirds scoreless innings from Josh Spores. Aroldis Chapman has 4 innings. Spores is 5. Chris Stratton, 4 2/3 innings. Grant Anderson, 2. And then current New York Yankee Spencer Howard also squeezed in 2 innings before his departure. Aroldis Chapman has been a revelation. He's had 9 strikeouts over those 4 innings. That's 75% of his outs. He has a 50% K rate. And then the most remarkable stat that I've seen, and I'm aware that I'm sort of outing myself as not a very good stats nerd when I say this. So just think about this as like a child seeing a turbo engine for the first time and going, what is that? Over the last 2 weeks, Aroldis Chapman's FIP, I didn't know that this was possible. He has a negative FIP. It's negative 0.48.
I didn't know that was possible either.
I didn't know you could. I thought 0 was as low as it could get. He is time traveling the FIPosphere right now with an 0.48, negative 0.48 FIP over the last 2 weeks. The bullpen has been strong. You know, Will Smith had a little hiccup.
Yo, you know what's funny? Let me cut you off. I just Googled, can FIP be negative? And the first thing is a CBS Sports story from 2012, July 27, 2012, that just says headline, Aroldis Chapman broke FIP. And I just like the little blurb I see is obviously it's not possible for a pitcher to have an ERA lower than 0. So a negative FIP just means that based on his walk rate, dot, dot, dot. So he's done this before.
Okay. Well, that's good. I'm glad that I'm not the only one that was perplexed by this. That blew my mind to see that. I was like, is this a mistake? Surely Fangraphs did not make a mistake.
I have another stretch, Ken Tremendous tweet from 2021 where Aroldis Chapman once again has done it.
There we go. All right. He is...
I think it's a story. Did we just stumble on a story?
I think we just did. So yeah, the Rangers bullpen has been great lately. Andrew Heaney has been really strong the last 2 starts. Martin Perez was not. He's been bumped to the bullpen. Rangers looking very hot. Meanwhile, on the other side, the San Francisco Giants. It's been kind of hit and miss since the deadline. They are still in a good position to make the postseason. They're doing this weird 2-man rotation where it's Cobb and Webb are their 2 like starters. And then I talked to Andrew Baggerly about this. I'm like, so are they just running a bullpen out there? You can't just have a 2-man rotation. And he said, more technically, it's that they have 7 guys that are, and just the last 5 are squished into 3 spots. All 5 of those other guys are pretty good the last 2 weeks. Ross Stripling, 186 ERA. Jacob Junis, 338. Sean Manaea, 0. Alex Wood, 372. And Tristan Beck, 0. So pretty good pitching for the Giants. Pretty good hitting for the Rangers. Pretty good pitching for the Rangers. The hitting. They got a couple of guys. Wilmer Flores was the 1075 OPS over his last 2 weeks. Mike Yastrzemski was the other one, but that was only 11 plate appearances because he's on the injured list right now. So probably edge to the Rangers, but it should be a good series.
Yeah. Also, you may have mentioned it. Producer Brian put it in the chat. Bruce Bochy's return to San Francisco.
Oh, that's right. Obviously. That'll be a big one. Duh. He went to San Diego.
We got them all. We got all the storylines.
We'll get there. Yeah, went to San Diego earlier this year, or like just a couple weeks ago. That was the end of July, and then yeah, now returning to San Francisco. So there should be a good ovation for Bochy this week.
A couple of the series I wanted to mention, you should keep an eye on: Cleveland at Tampa. This is the Aaron Civale, Kyle Manzardo swap in reverse. Civale is going to start the opener on Friday at the Trop. Angels, Houston. I cut myself off from picking Angels series because we just need to let things play out. listen, this team has fallen way back and I can't keep picking them every single episode here. The fans are getting restless. And then Padres Diamondbacks was the other one I had circled. This could be when the Padres pass these sort of slumping D-backs in the standings. The D-backs have gone all the way back to 500. So those are some things to watch. All right, Levi, you know what time it is. Time for the On Deck Arcade. This is the day we make our arms race picks. One starting pitcher for each of us to go this weekend. We put their game score 2.0s up against each other. After a three-game winning streak, I've now lost two in a row. It's 10-3 in your favor on the season. I haven't done the math. We're getting pretty close to the elimination point, but we're going to forge forward anyway. If you haven't followed, we can only pick one team one time. So we are crossing teams off the list as we pick every week. I want to point out quickly a couple of the remaining teams each of us have, because we're trying to kind of like dodge landmines along the way. There are some teams I would like to leave on the table. It's teams I haven't picked yet: Atlanta, Chicago Cubs, the Dodgers, the Marlins, the Yankees, Texas, Toronto are the ones I kind of have circled. There are some good options there.
You still have all those teams left?
Yeah, and you have good ones too. You have the Cubs, Angels, Shohei, Dodgers, Brewers, a bunch of good options.
Don't spoil it.
Phillies, Padres, Giants. So I think there are some good ones on the table. I'm going to let you go first because I think you're not going to pick who I'm about to pick.
Okay, yeah. So I am going to go Brewers. Going to take them off the table. We got Corbin Burnes versus the Chicago White Sox. Lock it in. I had two picks just in case you went first and picked him. Now I'm curious to see if you picked the guy that I was going to go with.
I don't think so. I feel like I'm going a little bit off the board. I'm keeping all the ones I mentioned. I'm keeping at my disposal for future weeks when I'm like facing elimination. I'm going with the Boston Red Sox. Oh. I'm going with Brian Bello. He's facing the Tigers. I believe it's at Fenway on Saturday. So I'm going to go with Brian Bello. Really, we're pretty obviously, other than picking for the bit last week with Verlander, Scherzer, second week in a row, we're really just picking the worst opponents, and Tigers and the White Sox are pretty ripe for the picking.
Yeah, I almost went with Andrew Abbott against the Pirates, but for me, the divisional familiarity, I thought that Burnes probably had a better shot of rocking the White Sox since they don't see each other that often.
That's a good one. Not a bad pick with the Reds either, because it would have been away from Cincinnati. I'm just so spooked about picking those guys at home. So anyway, that's going to be it for the weekend. Please, if you have any questions about the teams we haven't picked yet, just tweet at me. I'll send them to you. We'll just figure this out. You know, we can all just do this together. Thank you for listening. Thanks to producer Brian for handling the ones and twos. You can find all our work all week long at theathletic.com. Subscribe to The Athletic for $2 per month for the first year at theathletic.com/baseballshow. Sign up for The Wind Up, The Athletic's daily baseball newsletter with Levi and Ken Rosenthal for absolutely free. Coming up next in your feed, The 3-0 Show. Brit Aroli, Eno Saris, DVR. You're going to love it. Give us a follow on Twitter. Levi is at 32EFIS and I'm at Stephen J. Nesbitt. The two of us will be back on Monday with more of What's on Deck.
More of What's on Deck. As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.